This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron assemble and bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, pleading like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
State Senator Rob Ort, he's the minority leader in the State Senate, and he joins us this morning. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good to be with you.
First question, we finally have what seems to be an agreement for a $229 billion budget. I was debating if I was going to ask you this first or last, but I'm going to ask it first. How do we pay for this budget?
Well, we pay for it by a lot of tax revenue, by taxing New Yorkers more. We're paying for it by plowing through monies that we received from the federal government during COVID. But it's by taxing New Yorkers. It's by taxing businesses. And there's expected revenues in this, which may or may not materialize based on the stock market, based on, Wall Street returns, based on bonuses that are paid or not paid, and based on projections coming forward. So to put it in perspective for our listeners, here in Western New York, it's larger significantly than the budget of the state of Texas and the state of Florida's put together. So if you put those two state budgets together, New York's is still larger. And per capita, or per person, I should say, it is larger than California's budget, per New York resident, if you divided it out. So this is arguably the most bloated state budget in the country. And yet there's still so many things that we're not doing, that we're not taking care of. So it's not only spending $229 billion, but it's spending it really poorly. And that should concern and bother everyone listening and everyone across the state.
You know, the budget, the interesting thing about the budget every year to me is the non-budget related things that get thrown into a budget, right? We've talked about the energy bill and bail reform thrown into a budget. Now, the governor did address bail reform. What are your opinions on the proposed changes to bail reform by the governor?
So, Joe, one of the very challenging, and I was happy to be able to speak with you this morning, but we haven't seen, I still have not seen budget language. So what I know is what the governor, reported or the governor put out in her press conference. And so I want to sort of, as a caveat to everything we're going to talk about, I haven't seen the finer points. I haven't seen details. I think our staff has received language maybe this morning, late last night, and they're still going through that. But I have yet to see some of these finer points. And the reason I say that is, or the reason I think that's important is, changes to bail, our conference has stood against the cashless bail changes, the discovery changes, the soft on crime policy that have been coming out of Albany since 2019. So any rollbacks of cashless bail, I would view as a positive. However, I have seen reports and heard that while least restrictive means is out in the law, it is being replaced by other language that might ultimately have a net neutral impact, right? So, and so these are the kinds of things. Just because the governor comes out and touts, hey, we got changes to bail, I think they're very modest changes, but they may end up being nothing. And the reason they would be nothing is the progressive left, including senators in Western New York, like Sean Ryan and others, they like the way the bail system is working. They think more dangerous people on the street is a good thing. That's a more just thing. And they pushed back and they fought against the governor's attempts to make changes. And unfortunately, I guess we'll see if she got material changes that actually make our streets safer, that actually allow our police officers and judges to do their jobs. We know discovery reform. I mean, to put it in perspective, discovery changes were proposed that were so weak that Alvin Bragg, the same Alvin Bragg, DA in Manhattan, who doesn't want to prosecute anybody except for President Trump, he actually came out and said these changes will not do anything and don't go far enough. So imagine negotiating a public safety change that actually makes Alvin Bragg look pro-public safety because it's so weak and meaningless. So that's my concern around bail and the criminal justice reforms, but we'll see what the final language ultimately is.
You know, it's so interesting because I know, despite Alvin Bragg, I know there's a lot of DAs in New York State that have pleaded with Albany to kind of look at these bail reforms, to look at some of the language. And it's interesting that it seems like those fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I mean, even our DA in Erie County, DA Flynn, DA Soares in Albany County, both Democrats, they have been some of the more prominent voices saying to the state legislature, the state government, the governor, we have to make changes. The system is not, we're not able to do what the public expects and in many cases elects us to do, which is to protect them when laws are broken, when people break the law, when people rob, when people rape, when people murder. And keep in mind, by the way, just 2 weeks ago, the state Senate, on a party line vote, Democrats voting for, Republicans voting against, a new chief judge to the highest court in the state, who very prominently made an opinion to overturn the conviction of a convicted rapist. So it's one thing to talk about making changes to bail, but at the same time, you're approving a judge on the highest court in New York State who clearly is not looking at public safety as the priority when you're overruling a conviction, a rape conviction, that there was no reason, no legal reason to overturn. So a lot of, lest anyone think that the Democrats have started to shift to a pro-public safety, anti-crime, pro-law and order agenda, I can promise you in New York, that is not the case.
Another thing the governor mentioned in her press conference and something that we've talked about, it seems like nonstop, is this ban of natural gas. From what it sounds like, it will be in this bill, banning, small builds in 2026 and large builds by 2030. It seems like it's, and again, I know you haven't seen the actual language, but from what she said, it seems like it's everything we've thought it was going to be.
Well, it's the first state in the nation to do something like this. Right now, I want to put this in perspective. So her initial proposal was banning all fossil fuel, natural gas hookups, stoves, furnaces, including in existing buildings. There was a time frame for existing structures. And myself and our conference and a lot of other people, really came out hard against that. And the polling showed that most New Yorkers thought this was a bad idea, a terrible idea. And so ultimately, the final proposal, what she's talking about, is for new construction only. So existing homes at this time would not be included in this. If you have an existing home and you have an existing gas stove, gas furnace, gas fireplace, you would be able to continue to use that. The problem is in new construction, at the same time that she's talking about a lack of new homes being built and she wants more homes to be built, this is just going to make new construction more expensive. There's no two ways about it. This is going to increase the cost of new builds. I believe you're going to see less new homes being built, which means you're going to exacerbate sort of the affordable housing crisis where there's not enough homes for people that want them. And home builders are going to build homes in states that aren't doing this. They're going to build it in New Jersey, in Ohio, in Connecticut, in Pennsylvania, which is already happening. And ultimately, I believe this is sort of a first step towards the ultimate goal, which is to ban natural gas, fossil fuel hookups all over the place. Under the misguided notion that somehow that's going to solve the climate, you know, the changing climate, the oceans from rising, the ice caps from melting, which I think is ludicrous on the science, let alone on the economics and on the policy. But I'll go back, Joe, to the storm we had here in Western New York this last December. The notion that we're going to tell people you can only have electric. And by the way, there's an all-electric proposal in here that would allow the public sector to come in and overtake projects and compete directly against the private sector, the New York Power Authority, which is going to reduce the incentive for private energy companies to bid on projects to compete in that space. So ultimately, what you're really looking at is sort of a green socialist energy policy taking root here in New York. And that's not hyperbole. That's real. My colleagues on the other side, they don't want national fuel. They don't want private energy companies. They want public utility companies. They want a socialist sort of mentality when it comes to this, which is going to result in less energy reliability. It's going to increase in cost increases to people's utility bills and energy costs. And it's going to further chase companies and people out of the state of New York.
Senator, I want to step away from state for just a minute. I'll get back into this, but we're talking about the energy policy. We're talking about this move to all electric. You were a member of the U.S. Army, and we heard this week the plans from the Biden administration to go all electric in the military. From your experience, what kind of hindrance would that put on our military?
Well, you know, what bothers me on this, Joe, first and foremost, is the United States military exists not as some sort of political platform. It's not a social engineering, you know, this isn't an experimental body. The United States military exists to fight and win America's wars. It exists, I believe, also for the promotion and for the furtherance of peace in the world, which protects America's interests. That's what it's there for. And so everything we should be doing should be geared towards that. I certainly don't believe, I mean, every vehicle I was ever in the Army was a diesel engine vehicle. I guess there was a few that wasn't, but every land vehicle was a diesel engine vehicle. The question becomes reliability, safety for our soldiers. And again, what is the ultimate mission? Does this help the mission of fighting wars? Does it help the mission of winning our nation's wars, or does it just make people feel good? Oh, we're going all electric. Like as if that's the goal of U.S. military, not to defeat China, not to defeat Russia, not to defeat terrorist organizations, but to go all electric, to be woke, to be in, you know, hip with the latest political. I think it's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous. And the Biden administration has been a collective failure when it comes to the United States military, the United States Army, the United States defense posture. So this is just the latest in a long line of embarrassing moves that the Biden administration has made related to the United States Army and the United States military. I probably really can't be any more clear than that.
Going back to the state budget, another thing is minimum wage. And we had State Senator Sean Ryan on a few weeks ago, and he's part of a push to get the minimum wage to $21.25. Now, there are a lot of businesses out there, as you know, they don't want to get political. They don't want to get in the middle of a political debate. But they're saying if this happens, it would either run us out business, or your large one-topping pizza would be $45. I mean, it doesn't seem like any of these businesses are, again, just like the DA's, is being heard in Albany as now we continue to raise the minimum wage. And if COVID didn't run you out of business, this might.
Yeah, right. The real pandemic is New York State government now. That's the real issue that businesses are facing. Look, a couple things. One, this just fails the basic economics test. Right now, most small businesses across the state, certainly in Western New York, they're not even paying the minimum wage as it is. They're paying beyond because they have to, because the market dictates what you have to pay employees to attract good employees. So the most small businesses would tell you right now, I'm not even paying the current minimum because that's pushed everything up and I got to pay higher to attract good people, which means this is just going to push that even further. And it's going to crunch small businesses' bottom lines because, as we might recall, and certainly Sean Ryan would have no clue about this, businesses exist to make money. They don't exist to employ people. Businesses exist to make money. The person that goes to work for them goes to work for them to make money. So everyone's trying to make money to put food on their family, on their table, provide for their family. All this is going to do is constrict that bottom line and make it harder for businesses to make money in the state of New York. That's one. Two, lest anyone think that, you know, you don't care about working people. McDonald's in Colorado just opened up the first fully automated McDonald's. There's no worker in the store. It's fully automated. You know why? Because of things like this: minimum wage increases, cost increases. So they're going to figure out a way to have no employees. How is that better for the workers? You make $21 an hour, but you don't have a job, so you're actually making zero. Because that's what's going to happen. We're going to actually cause low-skilled jobs to vanish from places like New York and ultimately the United States of America. And so low-skilled workers aren't going to make $21 an hour. They're going to make no dollars an hour because we continue to push policies that actually have the opposite effect and do not help the people we are purporting to help. Lastly, all it does is increase basic goods, costs of goods and services for you, me, and the people we're supposed to help. So you get an increase from $15 to $21, but that increase is gobbled up in healthcare costs, it's gobbled up in your rent costs, it's gobbled up in the price of milk, it's gobbled up in the price of gas. So you never see it. And so we're right back at this discussion a year or 2 years later. What is this going to do to our family farms who are already dealing with the last minimum wage increase plus the Farm Fair Labor Act, which people like Sean Ryan supported, and now he wants to increase their costs further? I mean, this is just the most tone-deaf, politically miscalculation I can imagine. Maybe it's good for him in the Elmwood District. I don't know. But I can tell you, in most of New York, this is bad for business, it's bad for small business, and it's going to be bad for working people because there's going to be less jobs for those individuals out there because corporations and companies will respond. They're going to move or they're going to go fully automated.
And, you bring up McDonald's, and one of my favorite things I always point to is when I was in college, there was a dollar menu. Now there's not. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with minimum wage being double what it was when I was in college.
Yeah, and Joe, who does that hurt? That hurts the single mom who's got to go through, you know, she's got to feed her kids one night. She's got two or three children like you. I remember going there with my parents. The dollar menu, I mean, in college, it certainly was helpful. But even when I was a younger kid, it was helpful to my parents some nights when they were rushing us back from hockey games or hockey practice, and they weren't going to take us out to dinner and spend $60, $70 because who has that ability? So you're hurting working people by these policies. I know it might sound good. It sounds like you care more. I want to put more money in your pocket. But it never works out that way. It never has. The market is the best indicator of what the minimum wage should be. And again, we should be incentivizing companies to invest and create jobs in New York. All we do is incentivize them to leave and create less jobs here in the state of New York and in Western New York. And unfortunately, this kind of policy, increasing the minimum wage yet again, is going to do just that.
I know we're a minute over. I've got one last question. We heard about a possible or discussion of a tobacco ban. As you know, marijuana is getting greenlit, tobacco possibly being banned in the state of New York. Is there any possibility of this happening?
I don't think so. I mean, certainly I don't know the to ban the sale of tobacco products. I think, I don't smoke cigarettes, but the idea that you're going to just trade tobacco for marijuana, the hypocrisy there and the inconsistency really makes no sense. All you're going to do is trade big tobacco for big marijuana. I don't think that's a win for health purposes or for the people in the state of New York. I don't think it's not in the budget. The menthol ban also got kicked out of the budget. So I think this is, it's still going to be an issue, Joe, but I don't know that it's going to happen this budget or this session.
State Senator Rob Ort, the minority leader in the state Senate, I appreciate you joining me this morning.
Thanks, Joe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.